Hello everyone, welcome back to Us and Tomorrow. When I lived in the UK, I noticed something about daily life that I didn't fully appreciate until I returned to China this summer. So in the UK, there is an invisible looseness to the way people exist in public. You step onto the street, you take a train, you buy your groceries, I suppose, and of course there are rules, but they are faint and they hover in the background. You can feel the state as a distant presence and not a constant one. Instead, people tend to be more proactively kind, I suppose. But when I went back to China, the contrast was immediate. Of course, I am Chinese and I love China, but it's just the reality that life there is far more institutionalized. You are aware of structures that at every turn, for example, to take a train, you show identification. To enter a building, there may be scanners, and in schools, in hospitals, in residential areas, there are visible frameworks that guide behavior. They record data and they enforce order, so people adapt. Most do not notice consciously because it is the air they breathe. But as someone who stepped away and then returned, the difference was unmistakable. And it struck me that institutionalization has a direct cost on well-being and comfort. In the UK, people complain about inefficiency. Things move slowly and bureaucracy drags on. But in that inefficiency, there is a kind of freedom, a kind of leeway. You are not monitored so closely, you can slip between cracks sometimes. But in China, efficiency is real. For example, if I order something on Taobao right now, it might just arrive tomorrow. This is because systems are so streamlined, data-driven, immediate, that most of the things that you can grab hold of right now are made in China. And this, if you think about it, is because of how they undervalue labor, right? Labor is cheap in China. So that efficiency has a psychological weight. You're constantly aware of being in a system. And this is not a question of East versus West, of course. It's a question of the future, because the future is being built at the intersection of institutions and technology. And the open question is whether technology will loosen institutions or whether it will make them even more inescapable. Institutions exist to reduce uncertainty. Governments, schools, banks, corporations, hospitals, they take chaotic human life and give it categories, like forms and procedures. That is their job. You are not just you, you are a patient, a citizen, a consumer, a student. Institutionalization is the act of compressing complexity into manageable roles. But the problem is that institutions are hungry. Once they exist, they tend to expand. They codify more behaviors and they record more data. And in turn, they standardize more interactions. In China, that expansion has been rapid because digital infrastructure allows it. Facial recognition, centralized health codes, and automated surveillance. All of these are institutional tools that magnify reach and minimize loopholes. And the UK, by contrast, has older institutions and weaker digital integration. Things lag, which sometimes is quite annoying, but that lag produces space and, again, leeway. In that leeway, individuals experience a sense of autonomy. So the real question is not whether institutions are necessary. They are, of course. The question is how technology interacts with them. Technology can either decentralize or centralize. The internet was once imagined as a decentralizing force. Anyone with a computer could publish, communicate, and innovate. That promise was real for a while. But look where we are now. The internet has consolidated around a few major platforms. Algorithms determine visibility, and decentralization collapsed back into institution, this time corporate rather than governmental. In China, that institutional turn is overt. Data platforms and state institutions are tightly linked. In the UK, it's more subtle, I think. It's filtered through private corporations, but the result is similar. Technology amplifies institutional capacity. It allows faster categorization, as I mentioned, and predictive modeling. The individual becomes more legible to systems than ever before. When I noticed how different my life felt in the UK compared to China, it was not simply culture. It was a glimpse into two technological paths. One where institutions and technology are tightly bound, and one where they are more loosely connected. The well-being of individuals was tied directly to that difference. Why does institutionalization reduce comfort? Because it limits ambiguity. And ambiguity, though it sometimes is frustrating, is also a form of freedom. If you can walk into a building without being identified, you exist as yourself rather than as a tracked identity, if you can use a service without constant categorization, you can experience moments of anonymity. But of course, I am not saying that the fact that people are able to walk into a building without being identified is necessarily good, because then safety is reduced, right? So there's always this trade-off and always the need for this balance. Institutionalization removes anonymity. Technology accelerates that process. Consider health codes during the pandemic. In China, your phone displayed your infection risk. Green meant you could travel and red meant you could not. Efficient, immediate, clear, right? But every person became a node in the system. They're defined by a color node, by a color code. In the UK, systems were fragmented. And they're slower and sometimes chaotic, but individuals retained more room to navigate roles. The efficiency created stress, but it also left oxygen for individual choice. And that is the paradox. Too much institutionalization suffocates well-being, and too little institutionalization creates disorder and threatens safety. So technology now sits in the middle, and it needs to decide which way the balance tips. So will the future be more institutionalized? The trajectory suggests yes. Digital systems are expanding everywhere, and even in liberal democracies, governments push for digital ID systems, centralized health databases. Corporations continue to refine surveillance capitalism, and they tailor ads, and they nudge behavior, and they manage attention, which I have talked about in my previous episodes. But the outcome is not predetermined. Technology has alternative paths. Blockchain, for instance, was meant to decentralize finance. Open source software resists corporate monopoly, and encryption preserves private communication. These are technologies designed to weaken institutions, and to distribute power rather than consolidate it. The struggle of the future is between these two logics. One logic of concentration, where technology fortifies institutions until daily life is constantly legible to them. The other logic of diffusion, where technology fragments institutional power and restores ambiguity. What matters most is not abstract politics, but how people lived. How people live. When I compare my life in the UK and China, it was not about ideology. It was about comfort and, you know, having that leeway. Could I move through a day without feeling categorized? Could I act without leaving a digital trace? And could I make small mistakes, like small, not like crimes, without being flagged? Institutionalization shrinks these margins. The future could shrink them further until every move is recorded, every choice filtered, and every interaction formalized, as if we are living in a simulation. Or it could expand them, right? Using technology to protect spaces of ambiguity. And this is not only about surveillance, it's about education, healthcare, work. Will schools become hyper-standardized with AI testing every child constantly? Or will AI allow more personalized free exploration? Will hospitals track patients with sensors at all times? Or will data be returned to individuals to manage their own health? Will workplaces measure every keystroke? Or will automation reduce oversight and trust employees more? each of these questions is about technology and institutions, and each will shape the comfort and dignity of future generations. This was Us and Tomorrow. Remember, the institutions of the future are not abstract. They will live inside your phone, your workspace, and your body. So the question is not if, and the question is how.